convictions. They are the unmovable truths of God's word. They are the road on which we walk. We have been called out of a place. We've been assured of a future destination. And God has given me the word of God to upon which my life should be built and walk. And I should walk on. Well, what is the standard then? What is the standard? You know, there are words that are frowned upon in our day and age. Yet they are so necessary in life. Standards, if I could put it this way. If I'm on a trip, I've left somewhere behind and I've got somewhere I'm going. Am I right? And I've got a road on which I'm driving. But you know, there's something else along the way that doesn't become the focus of life or the focus of that journey, but I am very appreciative of. They're called lines in the road. They're called lanes. They're called guardrails. I don't know about you, but when I'm driving down the interstate and I'm going about, 70, 69, whatever it may be, all right, I'm thankful for when people obey those lanes. I've been up in some mountains before, and I've been up in some mountains. I was in California in Yosemite one day, and we were going up some roads, and you go around a bend, and you could look down over 1,000 feet, and there was no guardrails. And I thought, what's wrong with these people? What's wrong? Why would you not have something there? If you ever start to go off of the road, I remember my wife and I at one time were on a trip into Indiana, and we hydroplaned a few years back. It was around Christmas time, seeing my family, and kind of bounced around against another car, and that guy hit the guardrail. God kind of protected us and sent us into a ditch, but that guardrail protected him from bouncing off into oncoming traffic. Guardrails are things that we appreciate, aren't they? They may not be the things that the trip is about, but they're definitely necessary things for the journey. Well, I stood here tonight and I listened to a lot of young people talk about how God has spoken to their heart. Can I tell you what will keep you along, living by those decisions? A dirty word people don't like today, standards. Standards. You say, God has spoken to my heart about something. How do I keep that decision in life? It's developing a standard that keeps you on that course. Saying, this is a line I will not cross, and this is where God has placed me, and I'm not coming off of this conviction. A standard is meant to be a guardrail of life. And I want to preach briefly tonight just on that. I want you to know this, first of all, the reality of standards. The reality of standards. Here's the reality of standards. Everybody has them. Everybody has them. It doesn't matter where you go or where you're at, what church you're in, what place of work you're at, everybody has standards. I guarantee you the place that you work has standards. They have standards of conduct. They have standards of dress. They have standard of inner work relationships. They have standards. If you walk into the convenience store, they have standards, don't they? Sometimes they need to be a little higher, all right, okay? But there's standards in places. Churches have standards. People have standards. You have standards. The question isn't whether we have them or not, because they're inevitable aspects of life. You set them for your children. You set them for yourself. Now, in the book of Judges, the Bible tells us this. One of the great condemning statements in the book of Judges is that every man did that which was right in his what? Own eyes. They were studying the things of their life according to their own desires and their own direction and their own wants, rather than seeking out the will of God. But here it is, and many people have no thought to which they develop their standards. They develop their standards off of what is acceptable to them. What they think, what the culture defines. But there's no thought process. Sometimes they're often just go from one way or the other because who defines them for them? But the reality is this, standards are, and the reality is they are everywhere and you have them. I have them. Everybody's got them. There's things that we deem acceptable in our life and unacceptable. There's things that we deem acceptable in our families and unacceptable. There's things that we would deem acceptable in a service and things that are unacceptable. Everybody has them. Now, here is the criticism of it, that people throw two words into it, legalistic or liberal. Right? I have found this. I have been accused of being on both ends of the spectrum. Some people think I'm a liberal. And you are shocked by that, I know, right? Some people think I'm a liberal. See, they really do. Some people think I'm legalistic. Now, here's the thing. Legalistic is, number one, people need to get the standard right there. Legalism is adding to the work of salvation. Someone, generally we say someone will say someone is legalist because they just have a higher standard than them. And someone is liberal because they have a lower standard than them. Right? I have decided this. I'm going to quit worrying about whether someone thinks I'm liberal or legalistic, and I'm going to worry about whether God's happy about it. And I'll be happy with that position of seeing my Lord one day and knowing that he's pleased with it. But the reality is everybody has a standard or conviction or a standard. And I want to define the two words. Conviction is a rock-solid biblical truth, okay? That's something I cannot vary off of that all of us ought to have in common considering the Word of God. The standard is the guardrail that keeps me from coming off of my conviction. It's the thing that keeps me on the road. And the reality is this, everybody has standards. It's just how they're developed. And what I want to give you tonight is just what I believe some biblical truths that will help you develop standards in your life that will keep you on the conviction that God has given you. My goal is not to set the standard for you. Now, the Bible calls a pastor to be an example to them, and let no man despise thy youth, but be an example. And in some ways, I am to set an example of a standard that God would have us to hold. But my goal tonight is less about setting the standard than saying, this is how the Holy Spirit ought to lead you to set standards in your life. Because, friend, convictions are the same yesterday, today, and forever because they come from the Word of God. But culture changes. The things that I face, my father may not have faced, my grandparents did not face because of the change of culture. Same old sin, but a different way in which it is wrapped. And a standard keeps me and addresses, takes the timeless truths of Scripture and applies those things to the culture that I am in. And it keeps me on the same conviction that my father had, and not just the father had, but the conviction of the Word of God. We have a same conviction, but a standard keeps us on. That standard, look, there's some things that I have to worry about in ministry and in life that my father did not have to deal with in his ministry or life. And a standard guards us and keeps us on the conviction. And here are some things that I think help us develop standards in our life. Number one, standards grow from conviction. 1 John 3:1-3, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Look, if you're saved, you have been set aside, sanctified, belonging unto the Lord. He said in that verse, says, purifieth himself even as he is, what? Pure. To be positionally pure and right with God, now the challenge is to live the position that God has given me. Here's a standard. A standard grows from a conviction. If you have no standard, you have no conviction. If I have a conviction, then it demands a standard out of me. Here it is. I think of this, I used it last week, but I think of when missions conference comes around. If you have a conviction about giving to missions, right? You have a solid conviction. If you have that conviction that God calls us to send people into the uttermost parts of the world, and God has called me to go and where I cannot go, to send those that I cannot go to, there's a conviction in my heart, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and Philippians chapter 4, to give. But that conviction demands a standard of me. If I am settled on this fact that I am to give, then I must ask myself this question, what am I supposed to give? And so I set a standard. If there is no standard, then I would argue there's no conviction. Let me ask you, do you have a conviction that the lost need to hear the gospel? That God has called the Christian to share the gospel with the lost? And if you say, yes, that's a conviction in me, then what is your standard of sharing the gospel? Do you hold yourself accountable to witnessing? Have you set a time and a place? Do you challenge yourself on your witness? If the answer is no, then I would say the likelihood is that you haven't shared the gospel in a while, and that truly, as much as we claim to have a conviction, the conviction is not being lived out because we have set no standard. So you have a conviction about morality or purity in your life and in your family. Well, if you have a conviction, then you must set a standard. When you flip on that television, what is your standard? If you have a conviction of what is right, then you must define a standard of what is acceptable and unacceptable. See, if there is no conviction, if there is no standard, then there really is no conviction. And a standard is when I say this: I have a conviction about something in my life that God calls me to. Now I must set a standard that keeps me on this conviction. And that is the challenge that God calls us to, is that we would set standards that keep us on the conviction of life. And here it is: I must let the conviction of God's word and the leading of the Holy Spirit, that he said, and be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. The leading of the Holy Spirit through the conviction of God's word to help me set a standard to live out the conviction he's called me to. Whether it's a standard of modesty or whether it's a standard of music. Have you set a standard of music in your life? You say, well, I believe that I believe this, that there is certain things I ought to think on that which is true and that which is honest and that which is lovely. And if that's a conviction in your life, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, then you better define what is pure and what is lovely and what is honest and whether it belongs in your ears or not. A standard. See, there is a conviction that grows a standard. And I must make sure my standard keeps me on my convictions. I have convictions of things I want to see in my family. So I set a standard. This is the line that we don't cross. It is a standard that I have set in my life. It is a growth from a conviction. Standards shape our affections. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 says this: If ye then being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things what? Above, and not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. We're headed for a place. And he said, set your affections on what is on the other side. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your what be also? Our heart follows our investment. That's just reality. My heart follows my investment. Not merely my financial investment, but the things that God has equipped me with in life. There's certain things he's given me. He's given me a certain amount of financial blessing. He's given me some talents, though few they may be. All right. He's given me time. I don't know how much of it I got, but I know that it's not what I think is enough sometimes, right? He's given me time. He's given me talent. And he's called me to set my affections on that which is above. And a standard helps me set my affection. Do you use those things to say, look, there, I know this, that if I put myself into something, I will begin to love it. Through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. I believe this with all of my heart. I have 5 children, and I want them to love their God. So I'm going to have to do something. I'm going to have to get them invest. I'm going to have to get them invested. They're going to have to learn to sacrifice. You know, it's okay for your kids to sacrifice. Some people are protecting their children from sacrifice. Trying to protect their kids from having to give up things for the Lord. They're afraid of the very thing that will get their kids invested in the things of God. They're trying, sometimes if we're not careful, we're trying to get our kids to enjoy all the things of this life and give God of the extra. Have you set a standard? Look, I want my heart to be set on the things above. I don't want my heart to be set on leisure. Some people's hearts are less set on leisure. Some people's hearts are set on athletics. Some people's hearts are set on becoming something. What do you sacrifice for? What are you invested in? A standard is when I say, okay, this is some time we're giving to the Lord. I believe this with all my heart. If you really want your family to love God, you're going to have to give them more than Sunday and Wednesday night. Convinced of it. You won't get there on just Sunday and Wednesday night. They're going to have to be invested. You know why? Because Sunday's already God's, right? It's the Lord's day, the day on which he rose again. God set the standard of the Old Testament, the Sabbath, the Lord's day. That day, Jesus didn't come to destroy the law, but to what? fulfill the law. He fulfilled it. He rose again on the first day of the week. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, they gathered and they assembled together on the first day of the week. And God said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. And I'm convinced of this, that giving God Sunday is just giving him what's already his. And friend, my kids have got to learn to make sure God has their heart beyond what they do in that Sunday school class and what they do in junior church and what happens in here. They have got to be invested. They have got to learn to give up of the other 6 days something for the Lord so that they have invested in the things of God and have their affections set on the Lord. Do you use standards in your life to set your affection? I know this about me. What I invest in is that which I love. Right. Friend, if you need to set standards in your life that make you invest your life and invest your heart. And the song was right when it says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And the way to keep yourself by wandering is developing standards in your life that says, this time belongs to the Lord. This belongs to the Lord. I'm going to give in this way. I'm going to invest my time in this way. I'm going to invest my talents this way. I'm going to take my family and we're going to serve God together and we're going to give the things to God together. And I'm willing to give him beyond just his day. I want my life and my family to be truly invested in the Lord. And a standard does that. It helps set my affections. It says, I am going to give in a way and invest in a way that sets my heart on the things of God. Where have you set the standard in terms of your affection? Have you begun to say, Lord, I believe that I'm going to set a standard of this belongs to you. This in terms of my finances, in terms of my time, this inside in terms of my talent. These things belong to you. I'm not crossing this line. I'm not going to pursue other things. I am going to pursue the Lord Jesus Christ. A standard grows from conviction. A standard sets our affections. Standards protect us from falling. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be, anybody know what that last word is? A castaway. A standard, if you will, protects us from falling. It protects my weaknesses. In other words, it's when I take a look at my life and I say, here are my weaknesses, how do I protect myself from falling? The Bible says in 2 Timothy, it says this in 2 Timothy. I like these verses. Let me go here and read these so I don't misquote them. But 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. Standards keep us from falling. A guardrail keeps me out of the ditch or off the cliff, from falling off the cliff. And this is where sometimes standards may vary a little bit in this regard. For instance, I've used the illustration before, but I've known folks that were saved out of alcoholism. And as a result, they say this, I won't go to an establishment that sells liquor, period. Now, I remember as a kid, we didn't go to grocery stores that served liquor. Anybody remember that day? But now every grocery store sells liquor, right? Walmart sells liquor. But the reality is the person refused to go there. And that's a good standard for him. I mean, friend, if you struggle with that, you should probably avoid it. I've never struggled with that. And I like Mabella's, all right? I like their steak. Don't get to go there very often, all right? But they do. Now, that standard, we have the same conviction, if you will. That conviction is this: alcohol has no place in the life of a Christian. But he has set the line, I cannot go here. My line is, I'm not having it at my table. I'm not going to be surrounded with it. I'm not going to look upon it to desire it and to have it. But it's not a weakness for me. You know, sometimes convictions vary based upon keeping myself from falling. Sometimes convictions are about keeping my family from falling. You know, friend, I like this verse. It says, flee youthful lust. And then it says, follow. In other words, and here's the danger. Some people develop standards out of fear. And I think that's a bad way to do it. Now, fear sometimes causes us concern. I mean, some people get so afraid of the culture that they completely retreat. All right? They completely retreat. But God doesn't call the Christian to make decisions out of fears. Fear, he says, the just shall live by what? Faith. Sometimes fear moves me to begin to consider something, but my way forward must always be about faith. A principle for me that I heard a long time ago was never let fear make your decisions. I'm not going to sit here and plot a course for my children based upon a fear of what I think might happen. I'm going to plot a course based on a faith in God's word and what he said. And a standard is saying this: this is where God has called me to, this is a course he has set me from, and I want to stay out of that ditch. So this is the standard that I'm setting in my life. Standard is something that keeps us on, or grows out of conviction. It grows out of conviction. It shapes our affections. It protects us from falling, and it aids in our witness. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 through 22. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of what? Evil. In 1 Corinthians 8:4 through 13, Paul was addressing this matter of eating meats offered unto idols. And he said, concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. He said, we know that an idol is just a false piece of rock or whatever they made it out of, but there is one God. He said, for though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest that by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. You know what he's saying there? He said, don't do something that will hurt your testimony and cause another man to stumble, to avoid even the appearance of evil. You know, standards aid me in my witness. Well, Christian, there are some things that you may say, I don't know that there's anything wrong with it, but I'm not going to do something that can perceived to be wrong that will hinder my ability to be a witness to others. Now, some people get a selfish attitude, to be frank. They'll stand up and say, well, there's nothing wrong with it, so I am going to do it. That is selfish. What is the first thing you've been called to love? The greatest commandment in all the Word of God. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and all thy soul. What is number two? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Someone tell me where God commands you to love you. My brother will tease my wife every once in a while. He'll say, Susan, the Bible says that the husbands love your wives. We're to love our wives even as ourselves. So I'm working on loving me so I can love you even more, all right? And that's serious misuse of the scripture, right? And I kind of like it, but I don't know that it works, all right? But here it is. You know, God doesn't call me to love me. He doesn't call me to sacrifice for me. He calls me to follow him and to sacrifice for others. You know, you ought to develop some standards in your life that maybe there's nothing wrong with it, but to a lost world or to someone else, it can be a hindrance to their life and their salvation. And friend, it is right for us to set aside things that would hinder our witness to another. We ought to set standards based that grow out of convictions, that shape our affections, that protect us from falling, that aid our witness. And then we see this, we see the dangers of standards. I want to read from Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 8. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Now, did you catch that? All right, God wants us to eat meats, all right? And I'm joking, that's not the full context, all right? But him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not in doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God receive him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth in himself. Whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die in the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. Now here's what he's talking about. There was the Jew and the Gentile, and they were one church. We are all one in Christ. Now the Jew, he still found some spiritual significance in the Passover. And even though he was saved, he might celebrate the Passover. And there's some wonderful pictures in the Passover, isn't there? Picture of redemption, of deliverance. And he would celebrate that day. But if you're a Gentile, you look at that and they might say, well, I don't really know about that day of celebration. And God would say, let him that regardeth the day not demean the one who doesn't, and let the one who doesn't demean the one who does. So the one that eateth the meat, there's certain ones that would eat certain things and others would not. And he said, friend, don't get your eye off of what you left and with your where you're going and focus just on the guardrail. See, here's the danger of the Christian life, that we become so consumed with standards that all we're doing is staring at the guardrail. And that is a miserable journey. Some people stare at it and list everybody who has a higher standard as them as a legalistic hypocrite. And some people can only look upon the one who doesn't have every standard they have and look at them as a liberal hypocrite. And God calls me to this. Get your looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That is where my gaze is to be. Brother Anthony and I might have the same conviction when it comes to missions, but I would imagine that what we give is different. We might have the same conviction in certain areas, but because of circumstances of life where we have set a standard, it may be different. And God calls me to this, that I shouldn't become so consumed with a standard that I cannot worship and serve with that man. Now, don't get me wrong. There are certain standards that run into the conviction that cause a mound of separation one with another. Right, there are some convictions that I cannot back off of. There are some standards that I might have in my life that if someone doesn't meet, I may not say, here are my children. There are some standards that I might have that look, if you're living in some, look, there are some things that can happen on this platform and some things that cannot happen on this platform, all right? And some standards that cannot be, they must be held. But the reality is that so many times people get so caught up in the standard that they forget about where they're going. Matter of fact, they make life about the guardrail rather than the destination. And that is a bad place to be. It makes cantankerous Christians. Comes the danger of the hypocritical Pharisee, doesn't it? Well, you don't meet all of these boxes. And so you don't make it. Or, hey, you over there, you've got all of these standards. They're higher than mine. You're a legalistic hypocrite. Friend, legalism has nothing to do with standard. Legalism has to do with salvation. And just because someone has a higher standard than you does not make them legalistic. Maybe God's called them to something he hadn't touched your heart about. Maybe you ought to consider their standard a little bit and use it as a way of conviction and examine whether you should raise it. But it doesn't make them a legalistic hypocrite. And God calls us, and there becomes this thing, and it's been an age-old problem where Christians get a hold of a standard, and they be, and by the way, I like how it says here in Romans. Let me read that verse again, because I think it's important. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Let me remind you of whose servant the person is that sits next to you. His name is Jesus. Be real careful what you say about the one who sits next to you, because God loves them just as much as He loves you. They're headed the same place as you are, and you may very well be neighbors one day. Here it is. God calls us to this. Now, friend, standards are necessary to life. I would challenge every parent that is here tonight that had a kid stand up here and give a testimony, to look at that testimony and say, I want him to keep it. Say, how am I going to keep it, help him keep it? And set some standards in their life that get them to the destination that they gave testimony to tonight. You would do wise to look at where you're going and set some standards in your life and look to this book and said, that's where I'm headed. And I'm going to set some standards that keep me on this road. Not that you can lose your salvation. You can't lose that. Friend, I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not, I'm glad you made it, you straying servant. I want to hear, well done. Standards are not, if you will, and this is where we go, standards are not all about life. Where I'm headed is where I'm going. Conviction keeps me there. Standards, they vary from time to time. Here's one. I know I shocked you all last week. I said, I've never been to the movies in my life, all right? And I've never been. My parents didn't go. They didn't let us go. They didn't want us to get wrapped up in that, all right? And I give you a lot of reasons, all right? And I've kept that standard in my life, all right? However, it's a weak standard when it comes to what we watch, isn't it? Because, my friend, the worst is not in the movie house. The worst is on your cell phone. The worst is on your Amazon Prime, your Netflix, your Disney Plus headed there. God help us. You better set some standards for there. Here's another one. I don't play with playing cards. You know, my grandmother, I get told you this, my dad's getting ready to host a revival meeting up in Warsaw, Indiana. It's where Billy Sunday was based out of. My great-grandmother, Grandma Clark, she was saved under his preaching. Her husband had two problems. He was an alcoholic and he was a gambler, all right? And he got saved out of that. And so those two things have been associated. We don't touch the alcohol, and you don't play with the cards because of the appearance they might have. Now, I'll tell you something. My wife's a little liberal. My mother-in-law's here. I know she has, all right? Now, she doesn't anymore because... I know... She doesn't anymore. You know why she doesn't anymore? Because she had the misfortune of marrying me. All right? All right? I'm sure there's folks in here who do. Now, I don't. And I'm not going to pick a rock and hit you over the forehead because you do. Right? But how silly would it be for me to go judging another man's servant because his standard was a little different when we are headed to the exact same place? Serving the exact same God, sharing the exact same gospel, loving the exact same Lord. Now, we ought to have standards in my life, and I would say that if you stay away from cards, you're a little bit less likely to become a gambler, though I'm not saying because you have them, you're in danger of becoming a gambler, all right? And by the way, that's a low standard, by the way. It used to be you pick up playing cards in your hand, but friend, you can gamble your life away from your stinking cell phone. Right? And that's something Grandma Clark said back in, I don't know when, all right? But back then, but I better have something very different in my life today because young people are losing and developing addictions from some gambling things on their phone. Some people, it was don't go to the movie house, but some people are losing their life to the filth they watch from their phone. See, you see where standards change? Because my Bible is timeless. The convictions never changed. God didn't address Facebook, social media, and internet gambling in the Bible. You know why? Because those are standards. The convictions He sure did. purity, good stewardship, that call us to a Holy Ghost conviction and a standard that we develop in our life. My friend, just because yours is different than mine doesn't mean you make you the devil. We ought to develop standards that are rooted in our conviction because of the destination we're headed. And I will tell you this, I may be concerned from you if your standard is way on the other side of the ditch. You know what it'll make me do? Get my tow truck ready. Make me get my tow truck ready. Galatians 6 said to restore those that are fallen. I'm going to love you, and I'm going to warn you, and I'm going to have my tow chain in the back of the truck. And just like the testimonies tonight, when the chapter goes bad, I hope to be there to help pull you out. Standard will keep you from your chapter going bad. We ought to develop standards in our life that keep us on the road that God has called us to, knowing that we have the same destination. We've left the same place behind, but a standard is not my life. I'm not driving life looking at the standard. I'm driving through life looking to my Savior. And you ought to have standards in your life, but they are the guardrails. They are not the reason for living. And you better have them, and you better develop them because of where you're going and what you left behind. But friend, we ought to be careful of the way we love and treat people. Because just because we're a little different at times doesn't mean we're not headed to the same place. Let's pray together. Lord, I love you.